At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Sick. All right. Let me know when you hit record.
I mean, you'll get a countdown. Don't worry.
Oh, perfect. And now I'm going to do something special. Can you give me a countdown too, Steve?
I can. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Signals the start of the show. Welcome to Twin Cities Double Up, where we don't have a tagline yet, but we're still working on one. We have my main man, Steve, on the show once again. He's been with us in the past when we were Coal Mined. This is his first time on Double Up, and he's actually kind of on our first inaugural episode. We had a soft launch last night at MAW's Grand Slam. It was incredible. And so I'm super stoked to have this guy in here to pick his brain a bit. But first and foremost, we did have your podcast information out at our table. So hopefully you got some more, what do you call them, the Legionites? Lariats? Legion of Lariats?
The Legion of the Lariat.
There we go. Gosh, I knew I'd get there eventually if I just kept saying those two words.
I'm hoping.
Well, there seemed like there was a lot of interest. But I definitely have been watching your show a lot, and we've seen you grow. So Steve, how's everything been going, brother?
I mean, everything's pretty good, man. I really can't complain. I'm just busy, but busy's not necessarily bad. So, just going. Work between work, podcast, wife. Living a dream. I'm living someone's dream. So yeah. Someone sees my life and is like, I wish I was that guy. That's so true. I get up every day and I do it for them.
That's a great perspective, Dad, man. You should put that on a shirt.
It might go onto a shirt soon. That's kind of those are kind of the big things that are going on with
Whoa, nice transition, Mr. Brock.
Nice transition. Biggest things coming out from I Still Call It a Lariat, my pro wrestling podcast. We are going to start selling merchandise soon. We are going to have hats, we are going to have t-shirts. I said we might have a bumper sticker. We're probably not going to have a bumper sticker, but we might have a custom like car magnet. We are almost definitely gonna have a hoodie soon too. So we're working on some stuff. We have about two or three different types of hats that we're looking at. We have like four or five different t-shirts that we're gonna start doing and selling through, whether it be TikTok shop or however you get your apparel needs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the biggest thing coming out of it. We've got a couple of cool interviews that I think we still have in the works too. We've been touching base. The show has just been expanding. We're doing more episodes. Sometime during the month of November, we're going to start doing what I have affectionately referred to as the Indie Corner episode. We're literally going to call it, I Still Call It a Lariat Presents the Indie Corner. And I am going to start reviewing and listing off, giving results of varying indie promotions around the world, really, as a way for the general audience to kind of see what else is out there.
Yeah, and that's sick. We were talking earlier before we started the show on possibly partnering for your first indie episode next month when Bully Brand and Twin Cities Double Up present Dog Pound Wrestling. I forget even give what the title of the match is, but it's Thanksgiving something. It's going to be November 24th, 4 p.m. up in Mound, Minnesota. That was where we got our start about
Matt.
Yeah, I think it was 6 months ago. Mound, Minnesota. Oh, yeah. It's right off of Lake Minnetonka. There's rich people up there.
That's Prince territory.
That is Prince territory, man. So yeah, we've been watching Lariat expand. Tell us about the guests you've had at the show. You've had a couple big ones lately.
So most recently we had Big AJ from the Costco guys, which if you don't know who the Costco guys are, you might not be in that demographic, but they are kind of this viral sensation that I've been friends with the father, Big AJ, for decades now. But part of the reason why we have him back on the show is he announced his return to wrestling in a big, big way. And he went on literally Barstool Sports and announced that he has at least a one-match contract with AEW, which that's pretty huge. And then before that, we had a three-time world champion, EC3. I actually went and watched him finally complete this angle, or finally really start this angle that he teases in our interview a little bit, so we get to see the overlord instead of the overman, and it was pretty cool. I saw that last night. But that EC3 interview, if you are looking to learn some stuff about wrestling, the EC3 interview is the one that you should really get into. That's the one if you're looking for information, the kind of the right way to do things. He's also one of those guys you can message off on the side, and it might take him a few days because he's a busy guy, but he will answer you back personally and give you honest, truthful information about your performance, about your promo, about your in-ring work, whatever it is you're trying to get him to look at. He'll give you his honest opinion. Whether you take it or not, that's on you guys.
Sure. I love it. Yeah, those are both fantastic interviews, and we're obviously going to have the links in one of our things, in our YouTube or on our Facebook. We'll be plugging those as well, as well as Lariat, of course. We always try and share your stuff because we love your brother. It's been fun to watch you grow a little bit with you. I always notice we do get some numbers when your stuff comes out, so appreciate it.
I was keeping... Your former alter ego world.
Well, you're right.
I need to start getting Twin Cities Double Up in there now. I need to start including that.
You know, Steve, I think that was a perfect transition. We need to talk about that. We need to set the air straight on everything that happened there, all right? So, February 2023, coal mine begins. Me, Cole, my wife, Emily, one of my best friends, John, producing. And Cole, me and John Cole all work together, start Coal Mine. Beautiful. Year goes by. We didn't make it a year. 6 months in or something. That was December that year. John quits. He was doing all the work, rightly so. Quit Coal Mine. We were lost. We were drowning. Our ratings plummeted until a little spark of hope emerged in the form of Miko. We bring Miko on the show. Ratings go back out.
Oh, Miko.
Miko and Cole, this beautiful dynamic. Everything's good. You know, going back and listening to the old episodes and following the details of my marriage are a little sad and cryptic because there's, like, patterned stuff about me and Emily separated. And Cole, like, are you divorced? We had been, like, battling through a lot for years. Finally, again, divorce was happening. We were going to be fine with it. Broke Cole's heart, of course, but then, you know, Emily and I split. She's off the show. Cole takes sides, takes mom's side. I'm stuck with Miko. Miko's naughty. I lose Miko. I don't even know where he is now. So I'm stuck with the show by myself. And the worst part is we were growing. We were getting invited to stuff. We were going out and doing these events. And so we kept getting invited. And I just wanted to be done, but I was trapped with the show. And I still loved it.
I was going to say, you did the Bone Thugs concert, right?
That's just it. We were going backstage with Bone Thugs. We met Yellow Wolf. We did John Anderson. We were doing crazy stuff. It was fun. We were running around with Bully Brand. We were promoting shows. I got in the wrestling ring. I got in trouble for throwing a microphone. It was incredible. And then, and then finally I was like, you know, what am I doing? I'm just going to go off on my own. I'm done. So, I decided that one of the biggest issues we had with Coal Mine was we had a good audience, but it was so spread out. I don't know if you're struggling that with your podcast too. It's a very spread out audience, so you just have kind of Trinklets here, here, here. We didn't have a very localized base. Because I think a lot of it was like our friends shared it with their friends, you know, around, and then that would kind of bounce when you'd see a spring in a different area. But I wanted to really centralize.
I get a different country every so often, and it throws me off. Like
Indonesia.
The newest one was let me see. I believe it's Latvia.
Ooh, good one.
That was through Hound. We got that one because he was like, "Oh, this is one of those some group that he's in." Yeah, because where is it? Oh, there it is. Yeah, Latvia. Latvia, Germany, Nigeria, France, Russia, Australia, the UK, Mexico, and of course the US. Good old US of A is my expansion at this point. My international expansion.
Well, there you go. So anyway, I wanted to, since we were doing so many events and stuff, I wanted to start getting our name bigger, local, working with a lot of businesses. So I decided we were going to change it to Twin Cities Double Up. Miko, I'll give him credit for the double up. It was some term he always said. We didn't know what it means. Still don't know what it means, but it has a ring to it. And so we kept Twin Cities Double Up. And at the launch last weekend, or actually yesterday, I decided we also have to continue to kill Coal Mine now. So I'm starting my campaign Down with Coal Mine. Just so everyone knows, you're going to slowly see Coal Mine just be demolished. If you listen to the 51st episode, the last episode, you'll hear the end of the Coal Mine, which leads to the start of Twin Cities Double Up. So this is going to be the first fresh, original Double Up episode starring my man Steve from I Still Call It a Lariat. And one of the big reasons I brought Steve on is because, and he knows this, we talked a little bit about it, is to start talking about my journey that I'm going to be on this next year, kind of part of what the change in the podcast is. It really is going to focus on me joining the Academy, wrestling on. Hey, Steve, you're going to love this. Did you see this back here? At the Academy with Mr. Kennedy. You like that? Yeah. So 3 weeks ago, I started my training. And Steve, I know you're a guy who's kind of played every corner of the wrestling industry, correct?
I've done a lot.
Sure. So I want to know, why don't you tell me again? I know you grew up liking it, so at what point, tell me how you went, okay, now I'm doing something involved with the industry. Not just watching, not when you went from fan to involved.
It's always funny because I always say it like this. It was such a far-fetched idea for me to think about being a pro wrestler because I grew up a small kid, which most people who meet me don't think that they're like, that's impossible. You're 6'2". Right now I'm a little north of 250, which I'm trying to drop that down a little bit. But under when I was in my ring shape, I was sitting at like 220 still. And they're like, there's no way you were a small guy. I walked into high school at 5'2" and I was 95 pounds. It wasn't until my senior year of high school that I got tall. And I didn't get big, I just got tall. And I'd always been in sports. I'd always done martial arts. I'd done all types of different stuff. You know, same thing as every other little kid growing up in the 80s and 90s. You went outside, you played football in the yard with your friends, all that type of stuff. Well, I was 18, got out of high school. Tried to give college the old college try just because my mom kind of gave me the ultimatum, like, you got to go to college or you got to get out. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to college then. So I was going to college and I was working full time and it just wasn't working out right. And I was like, I'm not in this. I'm not, like, my mind isn't about this. And I remember I sat down and I talked with my mom and we were like, I was like, I can't keep doing college. She's like, all right, well, don't withdraw. She's like, if you withdraw, you can't get your financial aid. So I kind of just got incompletes in all my courses type of thing so that my financial aid would still go through and pay for it. I kept working. I was working for like a year. I believe I was almost 20 at this point. And I remember talking to my mom, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but I want to do something more. And randomly, in the middle of the night, I'm up, and on public access cable comes on this local wrestling promotion I'd never seen before. It was called Phoenix Championship Wrestling. The big thing about Phoenix was they had guys that I had seen. They had Nova on there, and they had Christopher Daniels for current fans, and Frankie Kazarian, all these guys who I had, like, I knew who they were because I knew who they were. I was like, oh, this is good. Like, and I looked, and all of a sudden they're doing shows in the town next to me. I'm like, so I emailed the owner, and I was like, hey, what are the chances that you need an extra hand? And this is a new school way of doing the old school entering the business. Old school entering the business was you had to find some way in, and basically you set up rings and set up chairs and hoped that someone would take you in the ring and beat the crap out of you. Hmm. So that was literally exactly what I did. Was I emailed him and just asked him if he needed an extra hand. And I got an email back the next day. Yeah, please come by. We're doing a show on this date. Come in. Just remind me of who you are when you get there, and I'll put you to work. I'm free labor at that point. Of course, he's going to take it. By the way, the owner of Phoenix Championship Wrestling was Donnie Bucci. His brother is Mike Bucci. They're twins, but Mike has wrestled as Simon Dean and Nova for ECW. Kind of a big deal in the wrestling world. He's one of those guys that's kind of looked at universally really well. When I got to the show, I'm doing the stuff. As I'm going on, I'm just getting more and more hooked, and eventually they let me get in the ring. They don't do much with me. They just kind of do a little training session. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I get done about, I think I started helping them out in like February. I wanted to see like if I could, they did a seminar with Jerry Lynn. And I remember I went to the seminar and I was like, all right, cool. I showed up in the best shape I had been in my life at that point. Mm. And we went through, and I remember everyone being like, this is your chance. Like, if you hit the mat now and you realize you don't like it, don't expect to like it 300 times from now. So I remember I got in there, I took a couple bumps, did some chain wrestling, and I was like, no, I want this. This is what I want. And I always say this because I have to preface it. I had a very, 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 very small inheritance from my grandmother works as a nurse, and one of her patients in like 1985 left me $1,000 that had just been sitting in the bank accruing interest for 15 years. So I got done with the seminar and decided I was going to go do a tryout at the world famous Monster Factory in New Jersey. Still up, still running, still doing good shows. But I showed up and they were like, well, if you pay for your full tuition right now, we'll knock blah, blah, blah amount of money off of it. And the way the Monster Factory works is if you've signed a contract with Monster Factory for the entirety of the time that they will ever be open, I will be allowed to go back to that school. Hmm. Which is pretty cool. I like that. I like that. I'm always welcome back there. I believe the interest I had accrued on the inheritance had brought it up to about $4,000 total.
Wow.
After I spent $3,000 on wrestling school, $3,000, $3,500, something like that, paid off all of my debt, all of like any debt that I had at that point so I could get down to zero, bought wrestling shoes and knee pads, I believe I was left over with about $10.
That's awesome.
So I was at least at zero, though, at this point. And then I started training, and I trained, and I trained, and I trained in a ring that was very small. And for anyone who was in the original Monster Factory, sorry to say, the Monster Factory from 2003, 2004, if you were in that ring, you will know what I am talking about. It was in a strip mall, like a convenience store mall type spot. And it was, we always called it the storefront location. It had two rings in it. Both rings were probably 15 by 15, which is extremely small by wrestling ring standards. And they were also, I don't know, a foot off the ground total, which means they also didn't have much give to them.
Hmm.
The other side of this is the rings, or the building at the time, did not have heat or air conditioning.
Hmm.
So in the winter in New Jersey, it gets cold. Does not quite get as cold as it does in your home area of Minnesota, but it still gets pretty cold. And with no heat, the ring would harden up like a rock. And it would take the entirety of the 2 hours of practice before it would soften up. And then it was time to go home.
Hmm.
So I ended up, again, training. I fell in love with it. The way I say it is I keep doing the show. I keep doing I Still Call It Hilarious because it keeps me involved in the business. I love the business. I love the business as much as you hate the business. It's a successful marriage, so to speak. You hate it as much as you love it at times. Always one of the things with me was I always said, I love wrestling. I love being at the show. I love doing angles. I love doing matches. I love everything about the actual inside part of the business. The problem is the outside part of the business kind of sucks. Because if you're not willing to put in the time and the what is it? What's the line that I've heard a lot recently? The magic you're looking for is in the work that you haven't done.
Mm.
And in the act of wrestling, going out and doing a match, whether it's a long match or short match, it's like this much of what you actually do. The rest of my life was, I went to the gym every day. I trained in a ring, sometimes 5 days a week. So I was going to the gym and going and getting in the ring. I was still working full time. And I couldn't stop doing any of these things, whether I was hurt, whether I was sick, no matter what was going on. I would be driving to different states, going, you know, slamming myself into a car with four other dudes that are all 250 pounds and on a high protein diet and sweating like madmen just to get to a show. And I'll tell you what, man, wouldn't change any of it. I know the relationships I lost as far as romantically. I lost quite a few relationships because of wrestling, but that means they weren't tough enough to stick it out with me. And I will say this. I keep saying that I'll never look back on those times and not be fond of them. Are there bad points in wrestling? Yeah, there's always bad. There's bad points with anything. You're in a locker room. You get to hang out with the boys. You go out. You get to perform under lights, whether it's in front of five people or 500 people or 5,000 people. Having people cheer you, having people boo you, man. I can't imagine a heroin addict that got better highs than I did performing in a ring. So I will never, I will tell everyone, don't get into the wrestling business. But I will also tell everyone.
Where were you 3 weeks ago, man?
You were so into it.
I thought we were friends, man.
We are friends.
Okay.
That's why I need you to train so that I can start training.
Nah, you wouldn't have been able to talk me out of it. You know that.
Exactly.
So that's you said a lot of interesting things there. That's really cool. And I don't know if you had more to go on or more questions, but one thing that it was the same advice I got literally on Friday from another guy was about you're going to lose relationships. You're going to have to sacrifice. So that's why I'm like, hey, I just got divorced. Perfect. I already lost the relationship. I don't have to worry, huh? My house burnt down 2 years ago, and I lost all my stuff. Already sacrificed everything. What can I lose now, man? I'm in prime position. My kid's 16. He kind of raises himself. What am I going to do? I mean, we still fish and do cool stuff together.
you're golden at this point.
That's what I say. So yeah, I've committed. I mean, I'm 3 weeks in. The first day of training was hell. The squats right away, and it was just muscles that I'd never touched. I couldn't walk the rest of the week. I had to skip Wednesday. It was also the night before the divorce, so I was like, I feel like I should hang out with friends. And then the cool thing I did was right after we signed the paperwork into the judge or the court stuff, I ran off to the Boundary Waters and spent 3 days just in the woods hiding from the world. And like let my body heal, and it was all therapeutic, and came back last week, and Monday's training was great. I felt so much better. You know, it was all like just shock what you're doing. A front roll. What the heck? I haven't done a somersault in 25 years, right? Handstand. Oh, buddy, I am so bad at those. Handstands are dangerous for me. Yep, they're dangerous for me.
Handstand bumps.
I don't lock my arms, so I fall on my head.
Funny story is, I haven't really done handstand bumps in... I've only recently retired, so... Yeah, I haven't done a handstand bump in about 12, maybe 14 years at this point. And that's while I was actively wrestling. But I had a little bit of a different reason behind it. When I came back to wrestling in 2010, that was, well, 2011 actually, that was after my shoulder surgery. And so I had gotten shoulder surgery in May of 2010, and my shoulder was rough. I tore my labrum about as bad as you could. And I took 6 months of physical therapy, and then I took 6 more months of gym and in-ring time because I was so motivated to come back in the best shape that I'd ever been in my life. And I did. I managed to come back. I was lighter yet bigger than I had ever been in my entire career. I was really proud of myself. But I was like, I don't want to take a chance of over-rotating my shoulder on a handstand bump. I'll keep doing flip bumps. That's fine. Give me a front bump. Give me a face bump. Give me a back bump. I'll do all those things. I just didn't want to do the handstand bumps anymore.
Oh, that makes sense. Maybe I'll pass Mr. Anderson a note from you saying Brock doesn't have to do them anymore either. Right? Will that work?
I'm not doing that. Yeah, I'm going to like double up the handstand bumps.
Oh, gosh, you even use double up on that. I'm stuck. Yeah, I got to work on them. Actually, I'm not kidding. I have to work on them tonight. Like, I'm going to be climbing up my wall tonight. That's my homework. I actually bought an 8x4 2-inch mat so I can drive my below neighbors nuts. I'm going to be working on my rolls and stuff in my apartment now. Seriously, I'm all in.
Nice.
I'm really training hard. I hit the ropes for the first time last week, and I was really bad at first. I didn't know you could be bad at that. But I smashed my neck on it, just missed. And then I didn't realize how bad your back hurts when you hit it like 10 times.
So are they ropes or are they cable?
That's always
my question.
I don't know. Cable, I think?
Do they have rubber around them, or are they just taped up ropes?
Tape. I think they're...
I thought there was tape, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that means that they're just ropes. If they're like actual rubber...
Yeah.
So there's two types of ropes in the wrestling business. There's the ropes like you see in the WWE, which are actual ropes.
Yeah.
And they're usually a little looser. And then if you look at like AEW and TNA, they use elevator cable. So it's elevator cable that's wrapped in thick like rubber hose, basically. Hmm. You'll know that. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you exactly which one you're using. When you were getting bruises from the ropes, which you might still be getting bruises, mm-hmm. were they like wide, like rubby bruises, or were they just a straight direct line?
I don't know. I can't see my back.
So ropes will leave like a wide rubby bruise.
Yeah.
I know all this stuff. This is
I believe you. So it's just, bad. I guess I didn't. I felt the pain and assumed there was a bruise there, but I didn't turn around and look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Jeez, you're making me look like quite the idiot, Steve.
You're only 3 weeks in. Just wait until they decide they want you to, without a doubt, hit a turnbuckle correctly.
Okay.
It was a great day in my life. It was 2 hours of just me running back and forth to turnbuckles.
Nope, that's what they did with the ropes with me. It was awesome. Mr. Kennedy is a fantastic coach. He's a really good coach. He'll stop during the training. He'll stop and single you out and go, let's work on this right now. And it's a really, really great, I'm sure you had that with your schooling too, but it's a great group of guys. It's just everyone cheering you now and then as you're doing it. Like, we're all working together. So it's I get high just working there. I love it. As cheesy as it is, I've loved every bit of it. Looking forward to going back tomorrow. I say that, but man, I'm going to be like, oh, I have to do work tomorrow.
Little bits of advice for getting into the wrestling world.
Yes.
One, always listen to veterans. Even if you don't take their advice,
sure.
Just sit there and smile and nod.
Yep.
Literally, if you don't agree with them, just sit with the smile and the nod has always been, because they've been where you're trying to go.
Sure.
If you are sitting down with a guy like Sigargan, Mr. Anderson brings in someone who he has worked with in the past that you know has been to the dance, he's been blah, blah, blah guy, listen to them.
Sure.
Listen to them. If nothing else, it gives you a jumping off point. It's always a good point to figure out where you should be. Figure out what kind of wrestler you want to be also.
Sure.
I don't mean your character. Your character is one thing. If you listen to the interview that I give, that me and Big AJ have when we're talking, He actually says this, which leads to me saying I'm the opposite. AJ is a power guy. He's a superhero. He does big, powerful clotheslines and power slams and stuff like that. But he doesn't do much chain wrestling, and he doesn't do much – like, he's not the work rate wrestler. I, on the other hand, most of my career was a work rate wrestler. I like to lock up. I like to get in there. I like to tell a story through the movements that we're doing. And it's one of those things, like, you don't necessarily need to be me or be him. You just need to figure out what guy you are.
Sure.
And what you do in the ring can always change and it can be different. Now then, developing a character, that's a big one. Always do that. Figure out and be willing to evolve it, change it. Don't fall in love with a character that you're portraying too much, because if it's not getting over, switch it. At the end of the day, the best advice I can give anyone is wrestling is still a business. So you have to treat it as a business. So like, don't, if your business was, say, if you say, argument, I'm in the restaurant business as well. If you have an item on your menu and it's not selling, but you love the item, you're not going to keep it, right? Like you get rid of it because it's just a waste of money. You're the only one who likes it. So, like, don't fall too deeply in love with something you're doing, but also know the value of what you're doing. It's a weird balance. Like, if you know what you're doing is right, doesn't matter if everyone else is kind of, well, I don't get it. Let it cook sometimes. Sometimes you have to let something cook.
Sure.
So you have to know how long to let things last, how long to kind of when to shit or get off the pot, all that stuff. That's all really, really important.
No one to
stuff.
Hold them, no one to fold them.
It's exactly that. You need to know all of that stuff. And sometimes, and again, you're still just getting into it, having a guy like Ken Anderson there is a big help, because if you're doing something and he's someone that you can still reach out to, you look at him as like, hey, is this working? And if he says no, maybe it's time to get off of it. And if he says, well, I don't know, maybe you just a little longer. If you pull your cookies out of the oven too quickly, they're not good.
Yeah.
You need to be a fully baked.
One thing I like that he was saying last week when we were going through stuff, I mean, obviously there's things he likes and things he doesn't like, but he'll always go, but there's a time and place for anything. So there's a time and place for everything. And he's very good about that. He'll be teaching on this. Don't do this. Don't do this. This. But you know, you could in this situation. And I love it. He'll run into the ring and he'll really. He covers every single base as he's doing something, and he's very diligent about. No, you practice everything when you're in the ring and training. So he's like, you treat everything like you're in the ring and you're selling it there and you're doing that. I mean, it's incredible. And he's like, you're bringing it like you're actually in a match.
You have to.
Yeah, and that's the cool part.
You practice the way you play.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's no different than any other sport. So I've loved it. Again, I'm happy with not dying so far. I mean, I really, it's like, this is okay for 37. I'm pleased that I don't, everyone else in my life thinks I'm a little bit nuts. It's pretty on, you know, I come from a world that didn't watch wrestling or do anything with wrestling. So telling my family I'm aspiring to be a pro wrestler this year kind of cracks them up.
I mean, you're going to have some, you're going to have some company soon because here it is. Here's the debut to the world.
Oh,
I think Steve Zaff is going to be getting back in the ring soon.
Oh, baby. When we say soon, what are we talking?
There's no set date. We're, I've been getting the bug a little bit, and I'm starting to see some, excuse me, some positive changes in both the aesthetic of my body, but also the composition of my body at this point. And if I can get down the weight I want to get down, we might be seeing it sooner than later.
Well, that's good motivation, man.
I have some goals. I have some goals in order to do them. I have not told them to the people closest to me yet, so I cannot just say them in front of strangers. No offense to our audience.
That's all right.
But once I kind of cement these goals and I can really make them happen, it'll end up being work train podcast.
That's gonna be pretty fun then, man. I feel like one thing I wanted was that we'd have at least monthly check-ins. I didn't know it was gonna be a two-way street. Do now we could be doing our training together, and I, you know, we've talked about in the past, we want to end with a match between you and I, right?
We're going to do it.
Yeah, and when is, remind me, another thing I got to keep on the books, WrestleCon.
WrestleCon is April.
April, yep, and that's, so we've already announced WrestleCon that a little bit, but.
It's going to be the same weekend as WrestleMania, and it's going to be, is the same weekend as WrestleMania, and it's going to be in Las Vegas. They're also doing one this year for the Royal Rumble in February and one in August in New Jersey for SummerSlam. I might buckle down and do the Royal Rumble. It's in Indianapolis if you care to join.
Indianapolis?
Obviously.
That's a little skip away. We're good.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you know, my in-laws are from your neck of the woods.
That's right. Whoop, whoop.
So they own a irrigation business that they run up there in Minnesota, but they also, my father-in-law's kind of branch of it that he mainly runs is actually in Indy. So they have he has a place up there and stuff. So I'm like, I might be taking advantage of your house that you have up there.
Oh, man. You should. And then invite Double Up, and we can do a sweet episode up there.
That's what I'm saying. We'll just bring we'll bring all of our setup and just...
I'm kind of picturing us like... Well, I'm just picturing us kind of like the Flintstones and the Jetsons. Keep having like a mashup episode.
It's what we're going to do eventually. It's got to happen.
I love it.
And I
got to reach out to Lindsay. I want Lindsay to come back within the next time we're together. I want Lindsay on the show too.
I'm going to see if Lindsay is going to do WrestleCon, because I could see her doing WrestleCon.
Oh, that'd be cool. Oh, how fun would that be if we had the three of us?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to see, because I could see her doing it on her own.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be like, hey, do you think they'll let us have like our tables next to each other? Like, we can just take over.
Yeah,
12 feet worth of real
estate.
That'd be
so sick. Yeah, and I'd probably bring Bully Brand out there too if we could. We've been doing massive. I'll actually do my plug for them right now because I don't even know if they're a sponsor or partner now. We've just started doing so much together. That was where I got to go WrestleMania or the Grand Slam event last night. I got to go work it with them. And that was the fun part about that was we had a table. Well, actually, I didn't realize that. Bully Brand was the one who brought in Doink and Dink. So we got to hang out with Doink and Dink yesterday. Kind of a dream come true.
It's
Apollo.
It was real Doink. So it was Ray, right?
Ray Apollo. Apollo. Yep. Yeah, it was Ray Apollo. And I don't know Dink's name. He didn't speak English.
I love Ray.
Yeah. No, Ray was awesome. Super down to earth. And you'd love him. He's an East Coast guy.
I've met him a few times. It always throws me off because he wears the bodysuit and you don't realize even as he's a little older, but he's still jacked.
But I was going to say, I can neither confirm nor deny, but there were conversations had yesterday about Doink coming on the show. The next time they're in town. No, but I don't want to do it unless you're on that show as well, and maybe we do like a Lariat episode. Well, I want to do it with your show if we're going to do it. I think we do a mashup with that. We do it with Doink. Be really cool. Again, neither confirm nor deny at this time. But there was conversation. And I did get a little present for you that I'm going to be sending in the mail. Or actually, I'll probably wait till I see you at WrestleCon. All right. One of the perks of having a table.
That's the other reason why we're down with Coal Mine. I still haven't gotten that Funko Pop from him.
That's right. I told you got to talk to him. You got to reach out. You should send him a message on Facebook saying, "Where's that Hulk Hogan?"
I can't. He unfriended me too. I lost the kids.
Down with. Coal. Yeah, this was a bad one. I mean, you know what kid was least affected? My son. He was fine. he's doing great. Him and his relationship with mom's fantastic. They're getting along now. He gets double the time with mom and dad. One-on-one time. He's growing up. He's out with his friends now. Life is pretty good, I think, for everyone. We're all right. But it's my damn bratty kids that can't get along now. And Miko, he's gone.
your other kid.
Gosh.
He's off getting into trouble, running around with the wrong crowd.
Well, you know what? Do you blame them? They have a 37-year-old dad who just freaking joined wrestling, right? He's not even there for anyone. He's a lunatic. The other day, my mom, I had said, one of my buddies started dating a woman, and I had told my mom, or she goes, "Have you met her yet?" I said, "No, he told me he's going to wait to introduce his eccentric friends." And my mom, "Pa," she goes, "Why are you eccentric?" And I just looked at her and I said, "Mom, I'm 37 years old and I'm joining wrestling." Like, this is atypical. I was like, I wasn't even a fan. You know what one of the worst things was? And I was so embarrassed after this. One of the first things that I said to Mr. Anderson when I walked in, okay? And granted, unfortunately, I forgot to. There was miscommunication, and I started a week late. I wasn't on the group text of when we were starting, so everyone kind of knew him, and he kind of grabbed me to go over everything. And the first thing he says, he goes, "Okay, so lifelong wrestling fan?" And I just went, "No." And I was like, why did I say that? And he just kind of paused, like, "Okay, kind of, why are you here?" But I love one of his, you know what the first advice he said? That's just kind of number one rule. Don't be a dick. You can replace all the Ten Commandments with just don't be a dick. And you know what? He runs a pretty good organization with that. People are nice.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, just don't be a dick.
Here you go. Pretty far in life.
Don't be a complete dick, at least.
There's a time and place for anything. Right? There's a time for anything. Good segue. Well, you know what, Steve? I want to do burning questions. That was always a fun part of the show, I think, that we get to know people a little more. We're going along. I'm still going to pull some old Coal Mine music because it's kind of spite music. I don't know if you remember this one.
Yes.
What? What's the one thing that people always misunderstand about you?
That they think that I like people.
Yeah.
Because I'm good with people.
Interesting.
Like, I like the people I like, but, like, I'm not... Like, I think I'm, like, the most introverted extrovert that you'll ever meet. like I'm kind of loud and boisterous a lot of times, but at the same time, if you put me in a room where I don't really know anybody, I don't always want to just go meet somebody. Like, it takes me a little while to kind of get that comfort level sometimes. Like, you put me behind a bar, it's one thing. You put me in a ring, it's one thing. Like, those are my comfort areas. But if you catch me in an area where I'm not comfortable, it takes me a second to get my bearings sometimes. And I think it's one of those things. My wife will be the first one to tell you. She's like, no, he makes friends with everybody. I don't make friends with everybody. I make acquaintances with a lot of people. And, like, it's more so just so that I think my business brain is I don't ever like burning a bridge. So, truthfully, liking people, I don't know if that's really a real thing for me. I like the people I like. Like, I like you, but you're an eccentric friend.
No, I totally get that, 100%.
Absolutely get along with my more eccentric friends, by the way.
That's exactly how it works, though. Every one of my good friends, when I meet their friends, they're my good friend right away as well. Right? That's kind of and it's similar personality types. And I had a similar conversation with my friend Benny about an extrovert who has a distaste for humanity. And it's just, and it is. I'm the same way. Like, and it's not. People say, yeah, you can be friends with everyone. And I have a lot of friends. I said, no, I can get along with anyone. Like, I don't think that's hard.
That's where it is.
Getting along with people is not hard, and everyone should. That's how you should live, man. You wanna have peace in your life? Learn to get along with people.
There's no reason for me to bring in animosity into just a situation that doesn't happen.
And walk away if it's there.
Now then, if animosity is brought up, that's there's a time and a place for everything.
That's right, man. Sometimes you do need to be a warrior, but for the most part, you know what we're talking about. The people walk around just bitter and angry all the time, man. Let it go. Move on.
Exactly.
No, I totally get that personality type. I would say for me on that one, and I have to work on it a lot, is I have, I think the correct term is a resting bitch face, where, like, when I always look like I'm mad. Like, even, and I've noticed it right now. This guy looks like he's going to kill someone. And the worst
You've got your Stevie Wonder glasses on, too.
Well, that's so, part of the go. I told you, I'm going dark. I'm going dark right now until down with coal mine. I'm all black. I'm only wearing black. And I mean, we're like mourning and killing it. At first, I was doing a campaign that was death with coal mine. And then I was like, I'm going to get blocked on everything, aren't I? Because it's going to sound like a name.
Because you're
violence. I was inciting violence. I actually went on and I said, what can you block people for? And I saw one that said inciting violence. And I'm like, yep, going to get nailed with that one.
But you're either going to get canceled or it's a really cool band name.
Well, I lost all my cancel cover. It's just me now. I'm the most vulnerable person there is. Remember, I had Cole, Emily, and Miko. I was good. I could get away with anything.
Yeah.
I just hit
now,
the corner.
Now, congratulations.
They said
you're a single white guy from Minnesota.
I'm vulnerable.
You're fucked.
I know. That's why I got to start wrestling.
Right? There is no minority in you right now. No one is helping you.
Yeah, I guess I just got to use money. That's what we do. That's my only weapon. Exactly. Okay, ready? Next one. What? If you could be given the date of your death, would you want to know it? Jeez, burning questions. This one's got a little darker than deeper in Icebreaker.
I've heard that question.
My wife asks me every day. She's just waiting for me to say yes so she can say
now. I think
she's
trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's going to happen today, just so you know. I don't think I would. I don't think I would, but like if it was something where like, hey, you're gonna die in a week, I think I might want to know if it was like in a week.
So it's so like within. Would you say within a year you'd want to know?
I think if it was within a year, I'd want to know. If it's something where like I'm 42 now and I'm gonna live a long, healthy life, and like oh, you're gonna die 47 years from now. Wow, I don't need to know that. There's a lot of stuff that I can do in 47 years.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna tell me I'm gonna die in a month. Well, there's a lot of stuff I think I need to tie up in the next month.
Yeah.
To make sure, like, I go clear.
That's fair. I think it definitely does.
Things. Currently, the way we're going, I think I'm driving the bus to hell. It's fine. It'll have bullet holes and a kegerator. We'll be great. I'll know everybody. It'll be warm. But I think there's some things that should be handled before I'm gone at this point.
Well, we don't want to lose you yet. Don't worry. I support you living, Steve.
I'm planning on it.
I think I agree with that. I think that's a great answer. I don't know if I'd go as far as a year. I'd say maybe within a month. Then tell me the date. But a year, I think.
Maybe as far as 3 months.
Yeah. A year would cut too much anxiety on the front end. That's also a year of anxiety. Yeah. I think that's my thing. That's stressful enough.
And I definitely don't. And like I said, if it's something where like I'm going to die in 40 something years, I don't need to know that one.
However, if, here's the other catch. If, then it's like, hold on, is it a guarantee then that I die on that date when you give it to me? Meaning I'm invincible till then? That might change things.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I don't know what I'd really do.
Start jumping off roofs and like.
What would I do if I was invincible? It's not like I'm going to go like rob a bank.
You're not invincible though.
Yeah.
You're just immortal.
Oh yeah, so you're just like dead.
You're immortal until that day. You're just not going to die.
Dead. Yeah. Kind of like Dracula when he's like a pile of dust.
This has gotten very dark, but also.
Why am I fighting? Yeah, why am I like, I have a year left, I'm going to go fight everyone? Why don't I just. Jeez.
Like, I have a year left. All right, I'm going to go live on a beach in Tahiti.
Yeah, no, I got to fight. I'm invincible now.
No, instead we're trying to like rob banks and stuff and like get and see if we can take
my uncle. My Uncle Ben didn't say he didn't say with great responsibility comes great, or with great power comes great responsibility. He said with great power comes you gotta go kill everyone.
I think we got next.
What was the best phase in your life? And if yours doesn't involve JNCO, I don't think we're friends.
So, I'm gonna preface this.
You got a JNCO story?
I didn't have JNCOs because I was poor.
Oh, that's the saddest thing I've ever. Wait.
Yeah. See.
Were JNCOs expensive?
They were more expensive than what I had.
Oh. Okay. So I guess the JNCO generation wasn't the best phase of your life. What was the best phase then?
You know what? It's hard not to say that I'm not in the best phase.
Oh, so that's your answer. That's a great answer. Nothing wrong with that answer.
Like I think, going back, there was a very long time where, if you ever talk to Showtime, he'll tell you there was a long time where there was this line where, be careful with Steve. If you give him a problem, he'll turn shit into gold. But the other side of this was, there was a lot of times where I was able to turn gold into shit.
Hmm.
And like kind of the running gag was, it sucks to be Steve. And kind of in the last couple of years, he's even said, he's like, you know, I'm really happy it doesn't suck to be you anymore. Like, this is, I think I'm living my best. I am actually living my best life right now. Like, everybody has, it rains on everybody sometimes, but I don't.
I wouldn't change
what I'm doing right now. Yeah, I wouldn't change anything that's going on right now. I mean, if we're going to go over my life, I have enough money to survive. I live a comfortable life. I have a budding podcast. I have a good group of friends, yourself included.
Whew.
My wife loves me. You know, I don't see anything. Like, everything can get better, but everything can always get way worse. And I've seen way worse. I've been in way worse. And I like where I'm at right now. I think I'm about to become a 42-year-old prodigy, basically.
Nice. I love it. No, that's great. What a perfect answer. I wish people would be okay with pursuing that answer, and when they get there, recognizing it, right? I mean, again, you didn't tell me you have the perfect life. You said, man, it's good. I wake up today and I'm grateful.
I think I'm currently living the best version of my life right now. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I'm hoping tomorrow is the new best version of my life. And I don't know how to sit still very long. Like, sitting still for this is different than sitting still. I'm always doing something.
Sure.
Every time you've texted me or called me, you're like, hey, what are you doing? I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm doing something for the podcast. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm always trying to get something moving.
Yeah.
So I always think tomorrow will be better. That doesn't mean I'm not happy with today. I like today. Today's good.
And I hope with the podcast with you, I know it gets over. I mean, I felt the same weight of it. And it happens when it starts growing all of a sudden. And then it's their crunch for time to get everything out, to capitalize on when things are moving. And it starts transitioning a little bit. It was super stressful. And I'm doing everything else. And then I'm losing everyone on the show. Nobody else is doing anything. I have to keep it going because as I'm losing people, then Bully Brand's going, hey, let's go to this event. And I know it started, I was getting so sick of it. I was done with Coal Mine, right? And I had to deal with all this stuff in the side of my life. And once I did, though, the beauty was last weekend with the relaunch. We did like a soft launch at the Ironheart Wrestling Show on Friday. And then just did kind of just promos last night at Grand Slam. It was the most fun I had podcasting in a while. And it was kind of the thing was taking it back into the, like, what I loved about it and doing what I liked doing. Just being goofy again. So I'm hoping as you stay busy that you still have that little spark. Because I know, I mean, that was the cool part when you and I first started talking was we were both kind of at the same stage of this podcasting thing. And it's been... You've by far been the greatest friend I've had in the industry. Just what's this guy doing? You've given me so many tips. And then even we're trying, like, okay, this guy's going to be on. Send this on. Yeah, I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a question there. Just a compliment.
I learn something new for this this podcasting thing every day. The way I put it is I'm 42 years old and I'm learning TikTok. I am not. TikTok's demographic.
That's our next move. By next month, I got Twin Cities Double Up is launching a TikTok this month. We're relaunching a new Facebook page.
It's
we're gonna be on Instagram. We're all happening within this
nowadays,
month. Well, 100%. So we're launching. But that's gonna be the fun part. The TikTok's where you're gonna be following me post throughout the day as I'm going to training. I'm gonna hopefully be. I think I'll have permission from Ken to do stuff at training, so you see some of the moves. Hopefully, you'll be able to see my progress. That's gonna be kind of the cool thing to follow throughout this year. Hopefully, I'm really hoping that. I know there's a Royal Rumble in the last year was a 50-man Royal Rumble in the spring. I'm hoping that's gonna be my first match. So that's gonna be kind of the goal. To get in there. I have been working on getting shit canned, so I can get thrown out of a ring. Which means I'm going to be perfect for that Royal Rumble. Well, let's do two more questions. We'll get to five. Ready?
I'm in.
What is what you're doing now what you've always wanted to do growing up?
No.
What was little, like, five-year-old Stevie's dream job? Like, fireman?
No.
Boston police officer? You know what? Wait, you're New Jersey. Why did I give you Boston? Go.
I'm New Jersey.
I'm sorry.
I am not a cop.
Sorry.
No, I mean, not what I'm doing now, but being a pro wrestler, yeah, that was the dream.
Was it?
If you asked five-year-old Steve what he wanted to be, it was absolutely a pro wrestler. It just... Wrestling, the way I put it is there have been, outside of my wife, let me preface this, there have been like two great loves in my life.
Hmm.
One is pro wrestling and the other one is comic books.
Well, brother.
What's a better way to, what is a better way to be a superhero than be a pro wrestler? I wear brightly colored tights and jump off top ropes.
Yeah.
I'm living what I wanted to do. Like, I never wanted to be an actor. I never wanted, I always wanted to do this, I think. And, like, even this aspect of it, this is just the furtherization of what I like to do.
Do you think it is the way that you reconcile being an extrovert that has some introvert qualities? Because that's your way to it's your huge outlet where you can go and perform and you can beat this guy in front of a million people and everyone's cheering you on, but you have this wall still, right? Because when you walk away, that guy wasn't real, right?
Yeah. So it's so the best character is always a version of you.
Yeah.
Just kind of turned up to 11.
Yeah,
it's always just turned up.
I shouldn't say that wasn't real. I hate the distinct. I hate using the term real and fake.
It's still real. I know what you were trying to say yeah. though. There is a huge difference if. So you've never been on a show with me, so it's a little like, but if you talk to people who have watched me just before I go out, I look like I'm going to throw up. I'm the most nervous. I'm down on all, like, I might as well be down on all fours. I'm at least, like, scrouched down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get my head right. I'm still giving every, like, as people are going out, I'm giving them, you know, the pound up real quick. Be safe, be safe, be safe.
Mm.
And then, I don't know if it's when my music hits or when I step through the curtain. But one way or another, there's this switch that goes off. And it's, the guy that was nervous 0.3 seconds ago doesn't exist anymore. Now I'm this guy. I'm Steve Zaff. I'm not Steve's alter ego. I'm not the guy that goes and bartends every day and like takes care of his wife. I'm the guy that's going to go out there and, well, I think it was one of my first matches back in New Jersey I had after I hadn't wrestled in about a year or two just because of the way life was going. I was so amped up, like I was just there. And I remember I walked out to the ring, and at no point did I like do the normal walk around the ring. Like normally you see people, especially on indie shows, they walk around the ring, they slap the front row's hands, like everybody's so excited about it. I was so up, and I could see this happening again if I were to ever get back in the ring. I ran through the entirety of the crowd and gave high fives to everyone.
Mm.
Everyone. It wasn't the biggest show in the world, but I still gave high fives to probably a good 100-something people in the crowd.
How high was the energy then when he got in the ring?
You know what? Everything was really good, and the guy I worked, I remember when I wrestled him. He was a smaller guy, but he was a smaller heel, and he loved it. He was like, man, this. Like, he said it to me later. He was like, it was so easy to work with you because everyone was up for you and everyone hated me already. Yeah. And we just went out there and did what we needed to do. Yeah. He's like, nothing hurt out there. Everything went smooth. I was like, yeah, it was a good match. He goes, yeah, I'm really happy we got to do this. This is awesome. But, like, it was one of those, like, I was just, I'm screw it. Let my music play. We're going to go, we're going to go a little longer on this one. So, like I said, I think that getting through the curtain, it flips it a little bit. It's the red light comes on, so to speak, for the camera. Like, once sure. that's on, I'm not – the version of me that's talking right now isn't even me. Like, the version – if you were to go back and listen to the first episode of I Still Call It a Lariat, I announced myself as Steve Zaff, but I didn't talk on that episode like I was Steve Zaff. I was just Steve. I was the guy that was reading the morning newspaper type guy. And I was like, and that was how Showtime came about. He was like, yo, you weren't you. You know better. You need to turn it up. So luckily it's been a process. It's all a learning process.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, I'm loving it. I actually get to do an seminar in a month where I get to do, I think it's just doing improv. Where we learn,
nice.
Yeah, just you know, how to go with the flow when things happen. I think that's a pretty cool idea. Just because I'm sure as you know, you never know what's gonna happen in the ring, right? Anything could happen.
That's the biggest thing. Also, and I'm sure Anderson has said this. Practice cutting promos in the mirror all the time.
Sure. That's why actually I'm gonna start doing a lot more filming of myself. Just to see what it looks like.
Film it. Do stuff like that. How you said you were going to film your stuff in training, honestly, and if you have some type of tripod for your phone or something, I would just film everything that you're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. I would just film everything that you're doing in training, if nothing else, so that you can critique yourself.
Totally. That's the first thing I want to do is see what my role looks like.
be a harder, more harsh critic on you than anyone else is. This way, everyone else that comes across you, it's like, well, you're just giving me your honest advice. Okay, I'm taking it.
That's
like,
perfect. If you motherfuck yourself, I'm really bad at that. My therapist always tells me that I'm really good at beating myself up, so I'm gonna be great at this.
Perfect.
Yeah,
you have to be willing to MF yourself a little bit more than everyone else does. My wife always says I'm too hard on myself too.
I'm like,
you're just too nice to me. I think you need to tell me to get my fat ass on a treadmill.
Nah, we need the love and support. All right, one more question, Steve. Let's bring it home.
One more.
What? Name the one worst quality you cannot tolerate in a partner.
Bad communication. It's actually an easy one.
Bad communication? Yeah. That's probably the go-to.
Bad communication. Yeah, bad communication is... it ranges from a lot of things. Kind of this joke when me and my wife moved in together, when we first got engaged was, well, do you have any pet peeves I need to know about? Yes, I have one. I have one now that we're living together that you need to know about so that you don't ever do it. And this goes back to communication. I love my wife. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. She's great. She likes to decorate the house all the time. She likes to move stuff. She likes to set up flowers, likes to put up fall decorations, winter decorations, all that stuff. Cool. I'm all for it. I have one request. If you are going to move something, like move kitchen drawers around or something like that, I don't even care that you do it. Just let me know that you did it. Because if I reach in to a drawer blindly and I expect to like pull out scissors and I pull out a spoon, I'm gonna throw the spoon. I know me. I'm gonna lose my mind about it. And it's the most simple, tedious thing, but like,
hold on, have you ever seen the South Park where Butters keeps getting in trouble by his dad because he keeps rearranging the stuff at the pantry? And like his dad has it by alphabetical order. But his dad's too lazy to look at what he's doing. He's just assuming that it's in alphabetical order, so Butters gets blamed. And he's like, "Why's the ricearoni in my coffee?" Just getting ticked because he keeps pouring the wrong stuff in. You're that guy. I'm going to send you that clip. We're going to post that clip on your stuff.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah,
now.
I'm going to send it to you right now. And just show you who you are. That's ridiculous. Why am I holding a spoon? What? That's you screaming at her, right? Oh, your poor wife.
Yeah. So she's never done it. I actually, yeah.
Well, yeah, she's scared for her life. you're a former pro. Oh, I love it. That's your pet peeve, man. Plus, you just told everyone.
That is the one that gets me. But like anything else, like you can move.
you can move heaven and stuff
earth at this point. Just
it's not
don't
his kitchen
move
drawer.
Like it's literally like the drawers, and it's not even. Don't do it. If you do it, just tell me.
Oof. Oh, you're an easy man to please.
Just tell me.
I don't know if I'm going to top that.
Tell me.
I think I'm going to end on that one. I love that one. I'm not going to top it. That was a beautiful ending, Steve. That was fantastic.
Steve's throwing a spoon.
Yeah. I just know the first thing I'm going to do when you let me in that house is just rearrange
everything. Shit around.
Oh, it's going to be glorious. And on that note... Wow, this was fun. I'm glad. I love having you on, man. You're by far. I'll hand it to you. You are my favorite person to have on here. Always a pleasure.
Man, I love coming on with you, man. Yeah. This is always a good time. I love recording. This is
it's really addicting, right? Fun. You get all amped up and it's such a fun time to catch up and you never know where the conversation is going, especially with us. So that's always fun. I'm very excited for April. Anything you want to plug? Cancer stuff? Anything going on with your foundation that you're working
on? So we're still doing the support for Tap Cancer Out. If you go on to any of our social media stuff, you'll find the website for that, for the fundraiser specifically. The tournament itself that I was specifically registered for just passed, but they'll always take donations. The other one that we've been plugging a lot has been the American Red Cross.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Because of their for the hurricane relief stuff. And not just because I'm in Florida. I have one of my really good friends is actually in South Carolina, and his and just the area that he lives in just got completely smashed. And you're seeing stuff like from even the newsreel stuff of like Asheville, North Carolina. That doesn't do it justice. Someone told me they were there and it looked like a war zone. That's right. Terrible.
Yeah.
That's a town that people just live in and it looks like a war zone. And it, kind of my thing is, whether you're going to send money or not send money, there are ways that you can support some of the, especially like the hurricane relief, without having to actually send money. A lot of those areas, especially the Carolina areas that got hit, they're mountain areas that like dams broke in. Like, dams aren't supposed to break. And, like, these areas are flooded and these people have nothing anymore. Send them your coat. Send them your coats that you're not using anymore. Like, if you have a jacket or a coat that you're not using, it's about to get cold there. And
if you don't know where to do it, man, go to any church around you, honestly. They're all collecting right now.
Yeah.
And it's not hard. Look online. There's honestly no excuse to say, I don't know how to do it. Just do one quick Google search. You'll find somewhere around you. That's a great place, Steve. I love that.
You'll Google your porn, but you won't Google how to help somebody.
No, that's 100%. I like that plug. We should do something with that. And I can personally attest to the American Red Cross. 2 years ago when our house burnt down, they were one of the first people out there, and they sat down with me and my family. We answered a few simple questions, just getting, I mean, it was about, did we need glasses? Do you need prescriptions filled right away? Just that, and then within minutes they handed us a card with $500 on it and said, here you go, like, this is for anything you need today. Plug to our local fire department too in Apple Valley, they handed us a $200 gift card. Just a cool thing. But American Red Cross, I was so amazed by that, where I think I'm gonna throw a link, and I love that idea. So keep plugging them, especially right now. We should definitely be thinking about those. That goes right back to you and I laughing at, or shouldn't say laughing, looking at our lives and saying, you know, we got it pretty good, don't we?
We got it pretty good. And, like, that's the thing, is there's so many other people that have it so much worse. And I don't take that for granted. Like, I'll be the first one to make a bad joke. I've made them with you. You know, like,
that's why we're friends.
We live in the world.
Yeah,
right? I mean, who did you put in Cole's underwear again?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I needed that. How many times did we say something about Don Cheadle?
His Don Cheadle.
Over the last year.
Ooh, Don Cheadle. You are correct. Yeah, I love it.
We will make bad jokes about just about anything. At the same time, guys, basic humanity. Just help out the people. It doesn't hurt to help anybody out. And in fact, it'll probably make you feel better about yourself.
It does. We all know we have too much stuff. Everything builds up. Once you start, it gets very addicting. I don't understand why we don't try and make our lives simpler. We continuously try and make them more complex with stuff. I think that should be a pursuit. The older you get, say, hey, how do I live with less? Right? I guarantee you, look in your closet. You have 10 shirts right now you haven't worn in a year. Those can go.
I definitely do.
Right? Challenge to you. I like that. That would be a good challenge to do somehow. We should make a contest. All right. Well, while we're brainstorming how to save the world next, Steve, we'll be talking soon. I'm going to try and have you on again once a month. Keep each other in check for our training. I love the advice. I really appreciate it, brother. I know you and I pretty consistently talk as it is, so I'll be reaching out for more information on, I don't know, how you can fit in the ring. All right, I don't have any ending music anymore. I plug it in at the end. So, Steve, have a great day. Stay safe down there.
Guys, enjoy.
Peace.